Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at these words that have just been read in more depth, as we consider what you would want us to learn for this day, may we each be willing to learn. May we each be willing to have that closer walk with you and to listen to your still small voice. How we need to hear you, Father. How we need to be willing to listen. And may we each do that today. In Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that is dealt with in these verses is the way in which we deal with each other. It could be said that today we are dealing with the subject of relationships. How we get along. How we should get along. It is so easy to think of this as just a theory sometimes. But now we have Jesus speaking of it as a reality. That we need to get along one with the other. And you know, if we are to survive on this world, then the first rule of the jungle, as it were, is that we need to be able to get along with each other. In verse 43, Matthew 5:43, it begins with these beautiful words, "Ye have heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thy enemies." You know, with this simple statement, Jesus was reminding them of a law that they knew that they were to uphold. They knew it, as it was originally said. Love your what? Love your neighbour? Hate thy enemy? Leviticus chapter 19. Let's look how it began. Leviticus chapter 19. This is how it began. Leviticus 19 verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. I am the Lord. When we read this passage, what we're looking at is attitude. Here we are talking about how the person is to look upon the one who they meet and deal with. We are to have patience, love. We don't bear a grudge. Have love in the heart for the person who you meet. As we consider this passage, we find here the basis, the foundation for how we are to behave. That it involves love, patience, that we don't bear any grudges. And I guess we could ask ourselves the question, but hang on a minute, how do I rate here? Do I have patience? Do I have love one for another? And for those that we call our friends, that's not too bad. We can do that. After all, we get along. We don't see them as being the enemy. But now comes the challenge back in Matthew chapter 5. Because in verse 44 it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." Now the challenge begins. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. And as we consider this, it is easy to begin to think that, hey, at this moment, we are now being taken out of our comfort zone. Love your enemies. Not easy when you're taken out of your comfort zone. Not. But then we consider the words of Jesus elsewhere, Luke chapter 6. Come with me there. Here Jesus puts it very simply. Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 14. Bless them to persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Challenge, isn't it? How we need to look upon others with grace. We're challenged by this. This is what is expected of us. This, that we do have love, that we are willing to show love one to another. But more than that, we are challenged to take the risk of being part of a person's life. To be a part of whatever is hurting them. To be involved. To go out on a limb. Be there for others. We don't like that, do we? We like to be comfortable in our own little world. Don't annoy me. I won't annoy you. We'll all get along happy. Don't bother me. You see, none of us like going out of our comfort zone. None of us like to look, you know, silly. We want to play it safe. And yet, come back to verse 45 in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. You see, in Matthew 5, verse 45, he then adds, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. It goes on. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, rain on the just and the unjust. And yet at the beginning of that verse it says that you may be called the children of your Father. Children of God. Do we see ourselves as being God's children? We want to be seen that way. We want to think with that way. Part of the heavenly kingdom. But if that is so, then we need to take seriously what he asks us to do. Which also includes this. You see, the words of Jesus in John 14, verse 15. Come with me there. John 14. Jesus put it very simply. John 14. John 14 and verse 15 is a very simple little verse, but it's a challenging verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you really love me, obey me. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. So 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not grievous. And you know, when you stop and think about it, the reality of that, they're not all that grievous, really. Consider for a moment. If people would stop killing each other, just obey that commandment, thou shalt not kill, what a difference it would make. Or let's take the other commandment, thou shalt not covet. Boy, what a difference that would make if everyone obeyed that one. What a difference it would make if people had the respect of others. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All these simple, basic rules that are there. I remember someone told me once that I put in the computer to come out with the perfect law. And the computer spat out the Ten Commandments. But when you stop and think about it, hey, the computer's correct. Love to God, love to your fellow man. Simple. As someone else once said, we've got all these laws in the world just to so we can obey the original ten. And it's sad, but it's true. And Jesus is saying, hey, if you love me, keep my commandments, my laws are not grievous. And really, like any good household, there are rules that need to be obeyed. And if we consider ourselves to be the children of God, then we do need to take the rules of heaven seriously. Do you see yourself as being part of the family of God? We sing about it, don't we? There was an old song we used to sing. I can't quite remember how it used to go. Oh, to be a part of the family of God. It was an old song we used to sing. We loved it. To be a part of the family of God. We used to sing about it. We still do, you know. But do we take it seriously? And if we are part of the family of God, then why do we try to change the rules, bend the rules, to suit ourselves? Because when we do so at our peril, don't we? Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 46. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? You know, we are reminded here of a fact that we are all good at doing. You see, we are all eager to get along with people that get along with us. It's easy. It's easy. We are always willing to be friendly with those who are friendly. But hey, but the question is asked, if that is all you are achieving, what have you gained? Not much. Not much. What's your reward? Not much. And with these words, a challenge is given for our faith. How much are you willing to love? What is the real extent of your love? Who are you willing to give the love to? And the challenge is, do you see that there are many people out there who are in need of love, the love that only you can give? And if you're not willing to give that love that they so desperately need, then where will they find it? Who else can give it? Challenge, isn't it? Challenge. And it may be a simple thing. Just a phone call. But are you willing to be that person who's prepared to make a phone call? I remember some time ago, there was a family who we knew who was going through, shall we say, a crisis. And they were saying to me how, you know, no one would speak to them or phoning them or whatever. I got to know them. So I made a promise to them. I said, okay, I will phone you every Sunday morning. I'll do a phone call once a week. And I kept that up for quite a number of years. It's amazing how it's such a simple thing, a phone call. It only took 20 minutes of my time. Big deal. But to them, it meant a lot. Are you prepared to do that? Just a phone call. Doesn't have to be much. It doesn't have to be much at all, but are we prepared to do it? Is it hard to phone? It's easy to phone someone you like to have a chat with. But the challenge is, what about the person who is hurting? And would like to hear a voice on the other end of the phone. It's nice to hear a phone call ring sometimes. You see, but are you willing to do it? Am I willing to do it? Luke chapter 6. Beginning with verse 31. Here again, Jesus brings home the point. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye likewise to them also, to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. Matthew 7 and verse 12. Matthew 7 verse 12 says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Challenge, isn't it? Pure love. Pure love. As you read these verses, what do we discover? That God is looking at your heart, and that what he wants to see is a person who is fully devoted to him and doing as he would have them to do. Do you have that love? Do you have that love toward Jesus? Do you see him as a friend? And yet, as you look at the different ones who are sitting next to you, are you willing to show to them love and care? You know, we often say that the best argument for the Christian faith is a loving and lovable Christian. We say it, we know it. But would this description fit you? Are you loving? Are you lovable? Challenge. Challenge. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 47. And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so. Verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Here the challenge is laid out very clearly. Doing the minimum does not cut it with God. How we all need to be caring for others that we see, that we need to have real love. And then the real challenge is placed before us, and that being that we are willing to be perfect as God is perfect in heaven. Don't take heaven for granted. Do not take God for granted and just goof around. Salvation is the real thing that we should be striving for, and not just for ourselves, but for those who we meet along the way. Leviticus chapter 11. Come with me there. Leviticus chapter 11. Here a point is made. Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Here we have a rather powerful picture of God. And when you look at this powerful picture of God, it can very easily make you feel, hey, I'm out of my depth here. It's all too hard. But with this very holy God, there comes a promise for us each one. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And the promise is still real for today. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In other words, let us come to God with confidence. If we sense that perhaps we are lacking, ask Him. We can come to God and ask Him, and to those who ask, He is willing to give, and to give liberally. There is no limit to what God is willing to do for those who are willing to come and to put their trust in Him and to allow Him to lead. Day by day. But are we willing to come? Are we willing to ask? With the passage that we have considered in Matthew 5, we find that we are dealing with the question of how to relate to each other, how we are to love each other, how we are to be there for each other. But the question we can still ask is, but is there a simple passage that puts all this together in one simple equation that we can easily understand? The answer is yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and beginning with verse 4. In the old King James, it's got the word charity, but I'm going to take it out and put the word love in. Goes like this. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believing all things, hopeth in all things, enduring all things. Love never fails. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Love never fails. It's beautiful that. To know that love is always there. Love and charity. But do we have that kind of love in our hearts for the other person? Do we have that kind of love each other? You know, as members move away or even pass away in death, do we miss them? Do we remember them? Or with the passing of time, do we forget all about them and simply move on? And for the one who is left behind, do we give a thought as to what they may be going through and give that person a little bit of support? But then what? 1 Corinthians 13. And in verse 13 it says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Is love. Here we are reminded of a grand message that we need to remember, that the greatest quality we can ever have is a quality of love. Of love. The most wonderful things that we can ever do is to show to those who we meet that God is love. That God loves them. God loves them. We say that God is love, and He is. God is love, and His challenge is that we are willing to give that love to others. We read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, etc. We know that verse. Romans 5:8, we're going to turn to this one. Romans 5:8. We know this one too. Beautiful verse. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We know that. He died for us. 1 John 4:9-10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, verse 10. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Have you found God's love? Have you found God's love for yourself? Are you willing to share that love that you have received from God with someone else? this week? Are you willing to be that person who will lead someone in need to a closer walk with God? And in doing so, you will not only be sharing the love of Jesus with them, but you'll also be giving them the chance to experience the things that you are also hoping to experience when Jesus returns. To experience that love that he has for each one. Love. God loves you. He died for you. And the challenge is, let's share it with someone else. Let us pray. My dear kind Heavenly Father, as we go into the week that lies ahead, may we take Jesus with us. May we allow Jesus to come and dwell within our hearts so that we can share his love with those who we meet. Dear Lord, you want as many people as possible to be saved. So, Father, may we each be willing to be used of you this week, so that others may have the opportunity of being a part of that wonderful, wonderful day when Jesus shall return and take us home to be with him. Dear Father, may we each remain faithful to you. It's our prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.